Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer podcast. I am Ross Atherton, your editor, and I'm joined today in the PC Gamer recording studio by you.
Tim Edwards, next editor.
That's really, we thought we'd get used to this by now.
We're together.
Yes. Tim Edwards, deputy editor. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
And also?
Tom Francis, master of stealth and section editor.
Hello, Tom. And finally?
PCG Buck Sexington. Co-conspirator of stealth.
Also known as Craig Pearson. Mm. Where does Buck Sexington come from?
When Radiohead released their album, song number 7 was called Reckoner. And someone on the Radiohead message board said that was a really sexy song. And I was on the Radiohead message board at the time and said, that's because it was co-written by Buck Sexington.
I was hoping it was going to be something really snappy and some kind of obscure film reference to some art house thing. No,
it's a bit of a rip-off of Family Guy's Buzz Killington.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Also known as Craig Pearson. Hello, Craig. Good, well, we're all here and we're all successfully and very smoothly introduced, I have to say. That was really nice. So what are we going to talk about in today's podcast? Well, all sorts of things, actually, aren't we, Tim? Stalker and gas masks. And
yeah, I'm deliberately holding the running order from you so you can't see it, to just make you feel a little bit awkward.
That's true.
As you come to the end of that sentence.
I can't see what Craig's getting, what Tim's got on his piece of paper. So all I can see is the charts. Shall we start with the charts?
Yes.
The charts, okay. Hooray
for the charts.
Hooray, everyone loves the charts.
Yes.
They hate the charts.
So what are people buying so far in 2008, Timbo?
Number 17.
Pirates. Why are we starting at number 17?
Because I want to illustrate a big point. Number 17, Pirates of the Burning Sea.
Pirates of the Burning Sea.
It's been the second week on the chart.
Good.
Now at number 17.
Has any of us here played it? You played it a bit, Craig, didn't you?
I played Tim's the beer a while ago.
I reviewed it.
Oh, you reviewed it?
It's reviewed in the new issue, which is out.
Well, it seems to me that you'd be perfectly qualified to tell us how good it is.
Yes. You'd think so, wouldn't you?
It's a game with boats in it and pirates and a lot of numbers to juggle.
I am sold.
Is there any burning sea in it?
There's no burning sea. There are some pirates, but mostly traders. The interesting thing about Pirates of the Burning Sea is they haven't quite worked out, or I don't think they went into it realising that if you're going to have pirates, then you need pirates to... pirates need someone to prey on, so 90% of the players are going to be the prey.
Right in thinking that you can actually choose not to be a pirate? There's like a faction choice and one of them's pirate
There's three factions.
Pirates
each of which
the
have three...
of the Burning Sea is an MMO, we should point out.
Yeah, sorry. It's there's three factions. English, Spanish and Dutch, I think, is the three. That might be wrong.
I hope you're not, because you did review this thing.
Yeah.
It was a couple of weeks ago.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And the pirates, there's a pirate class, but there's also, all the other factions can be traders or privateers or warmongers. And it's like, so pirates, and pirates are really hard for some reason.
So there's only one class that's actually a pirate, and all the others are just law-abiding citizens going about their business.
Pirates are the only people who can nick other people's ship.
What?
It wouldn't work though. Pirates, warmongers, traders of the Burning Sea.
They're not really called warmongers. I forget the name.
But it's fundamentally a bit too much about the management for your liking.
Yeah, and it's got the worst.
Do you think they just couldn't get the tycoon license? I mean, pirate tycoon would be quite.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Quick tycoons of the Burning Sea.
So the patents.
Yeah.
It also has the.
Well, why not?
We've
got prison tycoon coming out.
Prison tycoon 2, isn't it?
I'm just going to make this very important. The sword to sword stuff is rubbish. So if you want to play a sword fighting game,
oh no, you're going to say pirates, aren't you?
Don't play Pirates of the Burning Sea.
I thought you were going to say you should play Sid Meier's Pirates, which I think has the worst sword fighting in any game I've played.
It's much worse than that.
Wow, you could just spam one key in that and always win boarding actions. And it so because like the mini game for boarding was dependent on your skill and the odds stacked against you. You could just board straight away because the minigame is so easy that you could overwhelm any odds. So I'd board, like with a 3-man crew, I'd board hundreds and hundreds of people with giant ships and just single-handedly defeat them all.
Good, so that's Pirates of the Burning Sea, which is out and selling a bit.
Selling really badly.
Well, yeah, at least it's in the chart.
Yeah. It was at number 4 last week, so...
What else is in the chart? Where are you going now?
Shall we skip the rubbish and then get to the top 10?
Okay.
We shouldn't skip all the rubbish.
Okay.
And well, we should skip anything that's rubbish and we don't know for sure.
The Witcher's still selling well. The Witcher's still in there.
Number 13.
I tried playing that the weekend. I thought, right, I'm gonna give this a go because I'm supposed to like RPGs. I mean, I do like RPGs. And
should we start this podcast again?
No.
Forum's going to explode over that one.
And so I finally got around to having a proper go on The Witcher. And good old Vesta keeps crashing.
Ray.
But the dialogue is is terrible.
Are you sure it's Visage crashing and not The Witcher? Because The Witcher does just crash a lot anyway. Oh,
yeah, it's the game, but I think it's because it's running on Vista. I mean, apparently on XP it's absolutely fine.
When you say the dialogue's rubbish, do you mean the actual writing of the dialogue or the voice acting?
Both.
The voice acting is fine, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
There are some very, very poor.
But it's all out of context. Like, I was okay. So right at the beginning of the game, you've got a scene where the castle you're in is being invaded, and yeah, there's enemies coming rushing up the steps. And so the lead witcher guy says, right, so there's some people coming, rushing up the steps, and what I think we should do is, right, if you go over there, if you can attack the mage over there, and we'll take out this... And this dialogue goes on for about 3 or 4 minutes while there are people rushing up the steps, you know, 100 yards away. This cutscene just comes in. There's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of kind of drama or panic or excitement. It's just these people trying to play their characters. But it's all so out of context with what's going on around.
Did you get to the bartender in the first inn?
No, it crashed. It just kept crashing.
It's kind of the first example of like proper missing dialogue. Huge chunks of it are just gone from that conversation, so it makes no sense. Mm. And also a terrible, terrible performance. Voice acting is really bad on him.
Okay.
He says, "We don't like your kind here." And then you say, "I want a drink." And then he says, "What do you want?" "I want a drink." "What do you want?"
So he said, "When do you want?"
Apart from that, I thought actually the combat works okay, and the it looks nice, and I quite like the character management thing. It's
there's something quite slick about it, actually.
Yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, it's quite a well made game. It's better looking than I was expecting, you know, overall. Yeah.
Kieran Gillen is Britain's foremost games ponce. he's also playing The Witcher, but he's playing it in the original Polish.
Oh, for God's sake! Well, that's probably just to avoid the dialogue.
Yeah.
What else have we got in the charts? Come on, let's get cracking. What else have we got?
Number 10, CNC3, Tiberian Wars. Mm. Good game. Yeah. Sims 2, number 9. 8, World of Warcraft Battle Chest. Uh-huh. For anyone who hasn't bought World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Number 7, The Sims 2 Bon Voyage. Now, you'll note, I'm not going to make a Bon Voyage joke. This has got exciting news.
Oh, yes. My God.
Yes. These are the most boring charts ever.
6, Championship Manager 2008.
Oh, God's sake.
5, Unreal Tournament 3.
Woo!
Sigh. Sigh. Number 4, Crysis.
Which is selling really well. All that guff about it not selling well is a complete fabrication.
And it's mostly really good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apart from the bits with the bloody aliens.
Yeah, it's anyway. Brilliant for half and then terrible for
we
half.
We talked about this last podcast. We did. Born dross off and he clearly hasn't taken the message.
Well, I've got to have a go. I've got to see it for... I can't trust you guys.
That's true.
Yeah.
We're going to review games for you.
What's at number 3, Tim?
The Sims Castaway Stories. I ask you... What's your favourite story about a castaway?
Okay, mine is Castaway. With Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Mine is that...
Although, if you... if you watch The Terminal with Tom Hanks, it's the same story, only they moved him to an airport. It just carries on with just him going crazy on his own.
Volleyball?
Not quite, but...
Catherine Zeta-Jones, though, isn't
it? Yeah, I was going to say something about that, but... My comparison doesn't quite hold up in some things.
Mine is Swiss Family Robinson. Yeah. Because they make a really cool treehouse.
I quite like Gulliver's Travels because I think if I was in Lilliput, I'd have a great time.
Giant among men.
I was felt like a giant. We had one of those EPCs in earlier, which are tiny, tiny little laptops, and I felt like a giant, kind of with my big fingers going, "Hello, how are you?" And his tiny laptop just going, "Leave me alone, I'm only small."
It wasn't that small. It was just
quite. Also, it didn't talk.
It didn't talk as well.
What's the number 2?
Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
That's quite a good game. I need to replay that on Medium.
You do. I'm playing it online a lot, actually. Yeah. It's very good.
It's funny, I thought... when I reviewed it, I thought, when I finished it, I really want to go back and play this again. And then I actually tried, and I lost interest in it completely. Yeah. The second time through, I knew how every scene was set up, like all the artificial stuff about, okay, these guys are going to spawn infinitely, these guys only take one shot because this is a sniper section, those guys aren't allowed to see me because that's not part of this scene. And all the kind of the hard rules behind the kind of the way it stages these set pieces in a kind of B-movie way really show through the second time.
I think certainly when I played it, you know, it was I was having to repeat a lot of the scenes anyway because I kept getting killed, and it really does show through how the game is put together.
Do you have any trouble with the TV station bit?
It was just hard.
Yeah,
yeah. But the bit I couldn't get through was the helicopter pickup after the sniper section.
Yeah, it's weird. I breezed through that. Well, I don't know why.
Jeez.
That's just rubbish at games, then.
Shut up.
A lot of people do have trouble with that bit.
Yeah. What's a number 1?
Football Manager 2008.
Yeah. Did you know that... Oh, I'm not sure if we're allowed to divulge chart track secrets, But overall, last year, Football Manager sold, compared to Championship Manager, can I say this?
No, you can't. Not allowed to say numbers.
It was a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By an order of magnitude.
An order of magnitude.
Can we not say, like, it was double or it was whatever?
I don't know.
I don't know how much it was.
I don't know. It was a lot more than double.
it was between doubling and 100 times.
Yeah. I say it's about 5 times doubling. Right, shall we move on?
Okay.
Crack legal team advise us on that one.
They don't know what it means.
Just say it really quickly, guys. You'll get away with it.
I'll pack up. We want to be editor.
Hooray, I'm going
to
be editor.
I'm not sure why we're not allowed to say that.
I don't know.
It's a secret.
It's to do with money. Everything is.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the charts. We need a charts jingle.
We do.
I've been doing this a year now. You know that.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling. It's the end of the charts.
You got to sing that's the end of the charts. Come on.
No, I can't sing.
That was a singing. It's the end of the charts.
Exactly.
See? Oh, God.
Okay.
End of the charts.
It's the Adams Family thing.
Don't we have to pay for it to use that?
Now? Oh God!
You've broken the bubble.
Hooray, I'm going to be editor again.
No, that was your one.
You started it, you.
You'll be editor by the time that lawsuit comes through, so you'll be fired.
Tom's going to be editor.
Oh dear.
We need to talk about some men in gas masks.
Yes. What's the date next Thursday, guys?
The February
14th.
Yeah,
Valentine's Day. On Valentine's Day.
You're going to get a man in your gas mask.
You're going to get a man in a gas mask.
Right on your
door.
Yeah. Hey, it's what you asked for, you know. No, so on the cover of the new PC game, which is on sale on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, is Stalker Clear Sky. We've had a proper good look at the game. We've talked to all the men involved over at GSC, and we're bringing you loads of lovely new, well, info and screenshots and a lot of chat about the Stalker world. But sorry if you get a bit frightened by the cover. It's a bit scary.
Giving you a Stalker for Valentine's Day.
The good news about Stalker Clear Sky is that it's got everything that everyone really loved about the original Stalker, which is serious men playing guitar around a campfire and dark, like crazy skies and horrible boars in the woods.
Dark, crazy skies and not clear skies.
There are some...
Clear sky is a bit of a misnomer.
Yeah.
Well, it's before the first game, so it's before the actual second event. So,
yeah. Wouldn't it be great though if it's just, you know, blue skies, sunshine, birds singing?
Well, so when I saw it, it was quite pretty looking.
It's a guitar playing sim and a campfire sim.
But it has also loads of stuff that they couldn't get into the original Stalker.
It's the game they couldn't make the first time because of time constraints.
Maybe we're mispronouncing it. It's Russian. Maybe it's just Clearsky.
Clearsky.
It's called from that now.
Could be. Good. Anyway,
it's got everything that people loved about the original and
the original. Everything they wanted to get in the first. Well, not everything they wanted to get
such
in.
Such as?
Well, things like the kind of interacting faction system. So, in the original kind of design brief they had for Stalker, they wanted the factions, which was a faction called Truth and Duty. And they don't really kind of interact anyway. You can do missions for them, but they'd like, we are stern men who will stay here. But
stand in bars without moving.
Exactly.
In Clear Sky, there's much more mechanics to do with their interaction and play them off and you know, really take sides in a more meaningful way rather than just being at war with one and being friendly with the other.
So, which is quite exciting.
Yeah, and it should be due fairly soon. That's the other good thing. They're still a little bit vague about when it's going to be due, but my guess is that it won't take 7 years this time.
Wow.
They're saying March.
It's not going to be out in March.
So probably only 4 years.
I think it'll be out before summer.
Yeah.
I have another Men in Gas Mask story.
Ooh.
Is it clean? It's the Pyro in Team Fortress 2. Exclusive info from Robin Walker.
Absolutely.
The Pyro movie, they are still doing these class movies, by the way. The next one's going to be The Medic, which they were hoping to roll out with all these medic achievements and the new stuff, but they weren't quite happy with it, so they're reworking that one. After that, or soon, will come the Pyro one, which will apparently clear up the Pyro's gender. And there's some ambiguity about this because if you look in the supply rooms when you start any map, pretty much, there's clothing lockers with like a soldier suit and a spy jacket and you know, heavy ammo belt. And there's a spare Pyro boiler suit thingy, whatever he's wearing. And then above it, there's just a little girly handbag with a little flower on it.
So...
Hinting that he's either a... what was the Teletubby with a handbag?
Tinky Winky.
Tinky, wasn't it Poe?
No, let's not have...
See, I asked that like I didn't know.
I've been thinking about it.
Anyway, he's either an effeminate male character or a...
Poe had the scooter.
Maybe it's
but
a man bag.
We will find out. Sorry?
Maybe it's a man bag.
It's got a flower
on
it.
Yeah, I think that still makes you an effeminate man.
So men can't like flowers?
Yes.
That's broadly true.
Men can't carry handbags?
Yes.
You're not even a European man purse?
No.
What about bum bags?
Well, that's... You're American then, basically.
No, you're American if you call it a fanny pack.
Yeah, is a fanny pack more or less masculine than a man bag?
I'd say it's less masculine.
It sounds less masculine.
Can I just make the point here? Okay, the entire internet's going to go, oh my God, new movie's coming. This is a PC Gamer podcast for this point. No. And then basically we're going to stop halfway through and talk about handbags.
They're going to be a bit confused, but we're giving them a pretty fair reflection of what PC Gamer is.
Yes.
Good. Hardcore PC Gaming and handbags. What else?
Tell the story of the gas mask, your favourite gas mask story.
Absolutely not. But it is a phrase that we can't... I can say the phrase without telling the story.
Yeah, okay, go on.
Okay, there's a person that we used to know who we were having drinks with some games industry PRs in a bar, and it was quite loud, and then suddenly it went quiet, and all you could hear was the end of this guy's conversation. And the only bit you could hear was, and I had to dump her because she wouldn't wear the gas mask. and everyone sort of went quiet and looked. And
I think I know who you're talking about. I know he wouldn't be embarrassed. That everyone
no, he wouldn't be embarrassed by that. hello, if you're listening. So anyway, so that's what's on the cover of the new issue. We're talking about Stalker Clear Sky. What else is in that issue? What should we... how can we entice the readers?
Gameboxes lie to us.
So they say. So this we've got a feature in there which is about minimum specs on the back of boxes and also on websites and in readmes and so on. And how then really, well, at best they're not useful. And at worst they can be pretty much untruthful. Over the last few years, game specs have got less helpful because of the proliferation of different types of technology. So we've put together a feature which A, tries to demystify that, and B, tells you really how it all works, how the games industry is working at the moment when it comes to minimum specs. It's a bit of a minefield, but we have got a handy cut out and keep. Actually, no, don't cut it out.
It's the thermometer of truth.
The thermometer of truth, which has all the information about what's the best CPUs and processors, CPUs and graphics cards, I should say, in order, which will help you work out exactly what you need for a particular game.
And it'll also let you see what you've got.
Yes.
Like how good what your PC is.
How good what your PC is.
Yeah.
So hopefully the feature...
Tom Francis Reuter.
Hopefully the feature will explain it better than I just have. But it's a very interesting feature anyway. That was, yes.
An industry insider has revealed the shocking truth about system specs, and the shocking truth is they're all fiction.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that me?
No.
Was it Adam?
No.
Was it me? Have I been talking to my sleep again?
Insider.
Oh, right, yes.
Who'd lose his job if you talk
in the feature?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is a good quote in there, actually.
Yeah. Wow, someone actually trusts us that much.
Yeah. So who says that hardware is boring, eh? Eh?
Me.
Oh.
It's just a tool to use. A means to an end.
Yep. They use it and move on.
Ah, well, fair enough. Tom likes his PCs like he likes his women. No, I didn't say that.
High clock rate. Yes. That didn't make any sense. I just knew I could say anything at that point. It's the perfect pun in that situation because you kind of laugh if someone says something and you don't quite get it, but you're sure it must be funny.
Yeah, I always find it helps to explain the joke. Yeah. What else is in that issue?
Running hot.
I'm sorry? I thought that was the title of a feature.
Yeah. At 70 degrees centigrade.
Yeah.
Water cooled.
Yeah. I said water cooled.
Oh, sorry.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
What does that say in your audio surf?
Audio surf is one of the games of the IGF.
A GIF.
The Independent Games Festival, which has been run as part of GDC.
GDC, year. Which you're off to in a week or two.
Yep.
Maybe.
And we wanted to talk and highlight just how good some of the games are coming out of the IGF. Two in particular. First one, Audio Surf, which is a puzzle shooter game that uses your music to produce levels. So you can stick through whatever kind of whatever you're listening to, and it'll produce a level out of it with loop the loops that you can kind of drive down your little spaceship. And World of Goo, which is the Lollocaust.
The Lollocaust. It's the saving the persecution of the goos.
The persecution of the goos.
It's a platform bridge construction type game.
Yeah.
To be more specific.
It's a physics powered kind of.
But don't worry, that's actually previewed in the issue.
Yeah.
Do you know what I find interesting is that, you know, if you'd asked me 3 years ago, oh, there's an indie game coming up, and it's going to be released in a couple of months. We should preview it, like do 2 pages on it. I would have said, no, don't be silly. We preview big commercial games, big exciting commercial games.
For we are the man.
You know, now it just seems that indie games, or what we've called in the past indie games, just we don't need to make the distinctions quite so much anymore, because we can get as much fun out of Peggle as we can out of a game of Crisis.
Should be 6 pages on Peggle Nights.
Fuck yeah.
And, well, Peggle's not exactly the little guy. I mean, PopCap are a fairly large company.
Hey, I was thinking about this. Peggle Knights, right? What do we? Has anybody said anything about Peggle Knights except PC Gamer US?
No.
Maybe they made it up.
I bet you £1 that they made it up. And what they've done is that they've taken a screenshot of Peggle, right? And they've darkened it.
I think the Valve guys might have mentioned it when we were out there.
There is an interview out there with PopCap.
And the other Peggle screenshot was actually overlaid over a sketchy drawing of a Peggle level. If you look closely at it, it's actually a pencil drawing, so it's the planned level. And I wouldn't put it to PC Gamer US to making that up, to be
honest. We've always talked about making up a game, previewing it, and seeing who bites.
Thank you. Now we can never do that.
It wasn't very
Maybe we already did.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Monstro?
Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah. Duke Nukem Forever is actually a fabrication of mine. There you go, you heard it here first.
Interesting thing, facts about PopCap is they never do previews of games, or, well, they usually never do any kind of preview announcements of games. They always just release the game straight away. So Peggle Knights is a break from tradition, purely because we were all too excited about Peggle.
More fuel for my speculation that it's a made-up game by Speaking of PC Gamer US, and speaking of Team Fortress 2,
we're going to beat them up the bum.
Yeah,
we're going to have a match. Finally, it's all going to happen, and it's going to happen next week, so probably around the time you're listening to this, hopefully.
We're going to lose.
What?
Well, just before coming on this podcast, I had an absolute disaster of, as a spy, standing behind 6 or 7 people who were just not looking my way at all, completely contradicting what they're doing, and just utterly, abysmally failing, just falling over like a moron, and swiping randomly at the air, and walking into people's faces somehow, even though they're heading away from me.
Tom, I know what you're trying to do.
And then getting killed.
I know what you're trying to do here. You're just trying to get your excuses in first.
The other reason is we set a date for Tuesday, and since then the rather important press trip has come up that Tim's got to go on, and Tim's a rather good heavy, and we
He's only a good heavy because I'm a good medic.
Possibly. But the upshot is that we've had to ask PC Gamer US if they'd be up for moving the game forwards one day, and I think they'll jump on the opportunity to fight us without one of our players.
Well, I guess we'll see. I'm sure we'll manage. I mean, how good can they be?
I want to make the point that if you losers lose, I'm going to constantly remind you of the fact. You losers.
I think you'll be with us. I think we'll be playing Monday night.
Did you see that screenshot I took of the 4 stabs in a row that I got?
Yeah,
who was at the bottom of that screenshot?
Yeah.
Is it PCG Tim?
Yeah.
Maybe Craig's the best. Maybe we don't need
I have got a screenshot of me dominating you, actually.
He's all right, told boys. Keep it clean. So, anyway, we will report to you via the magic of our blog over the next week or so how the events play out. And we're going to try and get some movies out of it and indeed record the match. Can we?
The winner is probably going to play Valve as well.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah, Valve's
I didn't sign up for this.
That they'll play the winner.
Oh, and they're up for ritual humiliation.
They're going to kill us.
Yeah, we've actually seen Valve play now. They've been doing this little developer tournament where they invite other developers to put together a team and take them on.
Actually, it's PopCap that started that.
If they'd had any particularly resounding victories, and Eric Johnson said, all of them. No one's lasted more than about a few minutes on any given match.
It's like watching the Harlem Globetrotters.
We not only saw the match against one of their toughest opponents so far, which is the guys who made Drakan. I can't remember what they're called. And they actually, we got to see their tactics meeting beforehand, where they plan exactly, they don't know what map they're going to be playing on, but for both maps they plan out, both maps that they could be playing on, they plan out exactly where everyone's going to be at the opening stage, basically. So they have, actually have like a whiteboard, top-down map of the thing, have a roster of what class everyone's going to be, and then arrows pointing, okay, you good demo goodness. Jump up there, then yeah. bomb down there.
Haven't they got work to do?
Well,
this is their work.
It's rather flexible. And actually, yeah, they are justifying it in a work-type way, because actually playing in a proper competitive scenario lets them, you know, understand what competitive gamers need.
Yeah, good excuse, guys.
It's really, and they've made changes from it. Yeah.
It's really rare to see a developer actually being really good at the multiplayer component of their game. They went up against...
That's true. Ever like, since I beat John Romero at Daikatana, that's
I beat
true.
Mark Rainer's Unreal tournament.
Well, there you go.
I killed Fatality once.
Hey! And he killed you 50 times?
30 times, I think. Right. It was first of 30. And okay. I got a frag in.
I chickened out a match of squash. Against squash against Fatality, which is my claim to fame.
Well done.
Yeah, it wasn't checking it out. It was 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. I just got a sudden image of him beating you and then teabagging you in the squash court. Shall we move on? Oh, no, in fact, let's not move on, because we've got also more information.
Maximum information in PC
maximum
Gamers.
Maximum information in PC Gamers in the new issue, which is out on the 14th, on the changes that are going to be made to Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
Tom and Craig were flown over on the...
On the plane?
Recently.
I don't know where I was going with that. To Valve to see all this new stuff.
On Valve's private jet, of course.
Tell us about it.
Can we tell them about the business class thing first?
Did they fly business class first?
No, they flew...
You want to talk about the plane journey, then go ahead.
They flew as premium economy, and just as we were going in, we got upgraded to business class.
Lovely.
To the point where... But we were at the back of business class in the rearward-facing seat, so we could see the people who were sitting in our seat. And I was kind of sitting there thinking, I hope they just cover that up. So sometimes I look at these lesser people as I'm travelling.
It is kind of weird. You just like sat there face to face, essentially, with the lower classes.
Yeah, yeah.
I get that all the time.
Yeah,
yeah. In the limo.
What are they doing in the limo?
Serving them.
Are they your hostages?
No, peeling my grapes.
Anyway,
and filling
that's not a euphemism.
Team Fortress 2. Something kind of weird is going on. Basically, the entire Team Fortress 2 team is still working on Team Fortress 2 full time,
yes.
And so, will be for the foreseeable future. They're talking about where it's going to be in a year of, you know, continually working on it.
Isn't
so release is now just kind of a little bump in
obviously
the
money. Money
process.
Makes all the difference, but you know that no one else can afford to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
even most MMOs have to cut back on their support team.
Yeah, I said, how do you justify this as a business decision? Like, surely you've got to show some way that you can turn a profit from this. And they said, well, we just believe that anything we do that improves our customers' experience will ultimately come back to us.
No, I'm going to try and convince my boss about that and see if we can get a whole lot more
start mailing money to our readers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Free fiver in every mag. Like,
but yeah, kind of
I'd buy that for £6. Yeah.
So the first thing they're working on is a system to essentially add more stuff to the game. So a kind of framework by which they can just keep rolling out new content all the time, and that's the unlockable weapons that they've announced. And they've only confirmed, well, not even confirmed, but just discussed the details of one of them, which is a medic gun that doubles everyone's health but can't ubercharge, or is very, very bad at ubercharging. But while we're out there, we talk a bit more about that in the interview in the mag. But one of the bits that they told us when I didn't have my dictaphone running was that they're also thinking about having an unlock for the engineer so that he can set up two sentries that can't be upgraded to the full level so that he's going to have more tactical flexibility but less raw power.
That's interesting.
Yeah. There's also considering having a spy be able to fire blanks. Because, the spy can't fire.
Are you making this up now?
No. I said to him, well, but I said that's a possibility as well.
Wow.
Spy can fire blanks when he's
disguised.
Disguised, yeah. I see what you mean.
Because when you shoot...
I see. So
no, don't make this spy
the mind games.
More powerful. Yeah.
I think it'd
Come
be terrible,
on.
Too. Even though I'm a spy, it just means that spy checking is that much more arduous. You've got to shoot everybody now.
No, I don't like the sound of that.
But yeah, I also said, oh, you should make a spy knife that can stab from the front. And they said, yeah, we've talked about that.
No!
They were joking. Well, I was joking. I don't know if they were.
The new map is not going to be called Gold Rush.
It is.
It is?
The new game mode is called Payload.
The new game mode is called Payload.
The game mode is Payload. We're going to call it Delivery or Delivery of Death, or then Cart of Death.
Yeah.
I suggested Deadly Cart of Death. And I just got an email from Doug the other day saying, Payload. Not of Death, apparently. I checked.
Can you describe the the kind of new map and the way it works for us?
It's actually, in terms of structure, it's a bit like Dust Bowl in that it's divided into these little sub-maps, which, and there's an offending,
stages, wasn't it?
There's an attacking team and a defending team, yeah. Also like Dust Bowl. And there's a halfway point and a final point. But instead of capturing points, you're escorting a cart, which is now a high-tech cart with a bomb in it. When we played it, it was just an empty mining cart, so it's just this completely pointless exercise.
I want to make the point that the drawings I've seen of the cart make it look like a Teasmade trolley.
Yeah, it is kind of based on real, well, old-fashioned kind of gizmos, you know, when any piece of technology invented had to be the size of a sofa. I think it's a bomb that there are photos floating around of that does look a lot like this, basically a trolley. But yeah, you're... defending team has to just stay close to this bomb, and the more of them there are in the region of it, the faster it will move along this predetermined track.
So how fast does it move?
Not very
fast at all. If you're just one person moving it along, and as a spy you're kind of crouching behind it and crawling along, you will outpace it. So slower than a crawl. But when you've got lots of people, it kind of steams along at a reasonable rate.
You can use the cart as a sort of a movable sort of defence as well, if you sort of stay on one side and they're all shooting you from the other.
Okay.
But of course the enemies
can't put sentries on top of it.
No.
You
can ghost ride it though.
They are thinking about doing they're thinking about what more they can do with this kind of game mode, and the next thing they're thinking about trying is having a large platform on which you can all stand and, you know, engineers can build sentries and kind of defend like that. Oh, I actually think as cool as it would be to build a sentry on this thing, that it would actually be pretty much the worst place you could have a sentry because just everyone can see it from every angle and just pound it with rockets from afar.
Good, okay.
When's it going to be out?
This month, apparently.
Woohoo!
This month, as in February this month?
Yes, since that is this month.
Well, the enemies can block the movement by standing near it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The last thing I want us to say about Team Fortress, because we have to move on. Last thing I want to say about Team Fortress 2. Do you know what I like most about Team Fortress 2? It's something that it lacks. It doesn't have a story or a justification for why these nine archetypes are bombing around.
It's the age-old struggle of red versus blue.
But
stealing the intelligence.
I was in a game demo this morning that shall remain nameless, where they spent a few minutes talking to us about the backstory, about the warring world and the, you know, all the history. That it just, you've heard it so many times and it doesn't mean anything to you. And, you know, when they're making Team Fortress 2, they obviously realised that it's funnier not to. It's better not to have a story.
There's no kind of written story, but there are certain elements of like the backgrounds in Team Fortress 2 which you can read into, which is the most interesting thing, I think, about it.
And the difference between Team Fortress Classic and Team Fortress 2 is that they actually kind of looked at this absurd thing they've got where, you know, two opposing factions have buildings standing right next to each other.
It's like
a road in between and a small moat. And then thinking about, you know, how you could justify that. And so that's why they're kind of front companies now in Team Fortress 2. So you get like Red Bread and Blue Grain and the Builders League United. And
do you prefer the red team or the blue team?
Blue.
Because I find the red team much more fun.
Really?
I just prefer the kind of warmth of their buildings.
I think this might have started because play spy and a blue suit looks more natural than a red suit.
Okay.
It's kind of a bit out there.
I find the blue buildings quite cold. I don't want to be...
But then I spend most of my time in the enemy base. So
red makes more sense for a medic.
But you're usually a spy, you usually dress as the enemy. So.
Yeah, but I don't see that.
No. Hey, that was the last thing we were going to say about Team Fortress 2.
Okay.
It was all
right,
related.
So that's the new issue. It's out on the 14th. It's got lots of fun stuff in it.
Yep.
What else should we talk about today?
I want to ask a question.
Okay.
What's the worst game you've played in the past year? Or the game you've enjoyed the least?
Right, in the past 12 months?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not a big fan of... This is kind of... It's slightly at odds with what we were just saying. I don't like online shooters. I really like Team Fortress 2.
I like a lot of stories.
And I do like Counter-Strike as well, but most online shooters I don't like. And the more complicated they are, the less I like them. I was really hoping that I was going to like Enemy Territory Quake Wars. And I got into it and I probably only played it a few hours and just could not get the hang of it. The roles, I just found it incredibly hard and just found myself getting killed and just being confused all the time. So that is probably the game I've enjoyed least in the last 12 months. However, I should point out that I don't have to play a lot of games. I don't have to review shit games that my boss gives me, unlike some other people. So I don't play that many bad games. So, yeah, that's me, enemy territory.
I replayed the deleted scenes of Condition Zero, Counter-Strike. Right. And they were... It was like a bad movie.
This is the version of Counter-Strike that they made originally, the single player.
And then realised it was guff.
And then scrapped it and made the real Condition Zero, which is good.
Yeah, so they released the deleted scenes as an extras on the box, which is very unlike Valve because they're all about perfecting things and releasing them in this.
Now we see why.
Yeah,
I've never understood the logic of deleted scenes. I mean, I watched the Simpsons movie deleted scenes last night, and yeah, you can just see why they deleted it. They're rubbish.
Yep, that sure does suck.
Well, this is like a whole new level of rubbish. There's no physics in it, so when an enemy throws a grenade, it's predetermined. So you got this ridiculously. You know how the human eye is very good at seeing what's wrong.
Yeah.
You get this ridiculous arc of a grenade; it just plops down. And then the enemy runs away. It's all, you know, every time you get to that spot in that game, the grade does the same arc over and over again. Mm. I looked at the levels and discovered, like, one level had an outdoor scene, and then you went up a level, apparently, and there's another outdoor scene. Like, you could see the ground out the door, out from the top window. It's just so badly made.
Hmm.
So you should all play it because it's hilarious. So, I was laughing as I was playing it.
So Valve are actually rubbish, is what
was this?
Ritual.
Oh, yeah, Ritual.
Okay.
Did you enjoy it in a kind of, oh, this is rubbish?
I enjoyed it because I played it to laugh at it.
For kitsch value.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like the same bad movie thing. So I got a lot of laughter out of it, but I wasn't enjoying it as a game.
Now you've made me want to go back to Counter-Strike. We should play more Counter-Strike.
TF2, man.
The worst game I played in the last 12 months, probably Painkiller Overdose. But the game I enjoyed the least was probably The Witcher. But we talked a bit about The Witcher, so I'll talk about Painkiller Overdose. Which, it after a while, it becomes kind of fun in a really stupid way. Painkiller started out as a mod for Quake, and then they got a deal to release it because they got, like, an artist who could actually draw.
Wasn't it Painkiller that Fatality beat you 30-1 at?
I think you mean the game in which I killed Fatality, yes.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, sorry.
And Painkiller Overdose, more bizarrely, is a mod for Painkiller that, oh, they found a retail release, and now they're going to release it as a game, and now it's kind of an unofficial sequel to Painkiller. So it's kind of like two stages removed from a sort of normal production cycle, which is nothing to hold against it. It's bizarre, because usually the thing with like a small team or a mod team is that they've got loads of ideas and loads of cool mechanics, and it can be really experimental, but they don't have the art and the model, the art department to churn out content. And this has the exact opposite. It never changes. It's always just hordes and hordes of enemies running towards you while a couple like shamble at the back throwing fireballs. But on every single level, all the enemies are different. So they had to remake all the enemies and all the models every single time. And they just churn them out. And some of them are actually kind of quite pretty after a while. You get to these weird abstract worlds because every level has to be a completely different setting to the last one, every like sub-chapter. But there's just no point to it because you're playing exactly the same game again and again. And your main character, who is a half-angel, half-demon, has Duke Nukem style one-liners and just repeats them again and again and again. And the intro uses the word hate 7 times in a row.
An intro like 7 hours long as well.
It goes on for less time than it seems to.
What annoys me about Painkiller is that it strikes me that it's a very old game idea with fancy graphics. Now that's exactly what happened when 3D cards proliferated in the late 90s. Is that you got some very simple game ideas being shipped out with fancy 3D graphics. And people lapped it up because they looked cool. And then we grew out of that and started getting some better games, some actual, you know, better constructed games. And then we've got this completely, you know, back to the late 90s, you know, throwback. And there's just no place for it. I just don't get it. I don't know why it exists. Vitriol. Hmm.
Get it, Ross.
Grr, yeah, fuck the man. Tim, what's yours?
Hellgate.
Mm. Oh, God. EA weren't happy with us when we did the bloody review, you know, and now they're going to be even less happy if you keep saying you hate Hellgate.
We're trying to say what we think of games. Yeah. It's kind of our job.
I know, actual opinions.
Shocking. Yeah. Go on then.
It's a game, and I get unreasonably annoyed sometimes, I'm well aware of that.
I didn't notice, mate.
There are so many reasons that Hellgate could have been really good. They had everything going for them, but they forgot that when you're shooting something, it should feel violent and not like you're kind of spooging jelly at a kind of angry tramp.
to take a point of comparison, most people will be able to relate to.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. But okay. it's just rubbish. I don't know.
I'm still overcome by that analogy.
Spooging jelly of an angry tramp.
Is the tramp enjoy? Is he like, you know? Is he angry because you're spooting jelly at him?
Well, he's already angry.
He's coming at you. He's charging. Yeah.
Well, he's the kind of tramp who's got like a kind of. All he wants to do is just run at you.
Yeah.
He wakes up and goes, "Oh, is he from Painkiller Overdose? All my tramp friends are angry. Why are they angry? Oh, look, there's a man over there who's spooging jelly. I'm going to run at him."
Yeah.
And then his arms fall off and he just slumps over.
And that's why you see fewer tramps.
And that's what Tim
ripped
last night.
Yeah. And that's Hellgate.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know where to play it now.
You've enjoyed experiences like that in the past.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Hang on, tramps, jelly, I like it. What's not to like? Good, all right. So, yes, well, what have we played lately that we've actually enjoyed then? Let's end on a positive note. What have we done that's good?
I'm playing Sins of a Solar Empire.
Yes, you are. Which is, describe it, because it's a bit of an obscure one.
It's, if you played Masters of Orion 2, it is like that in real time. It's, if you haven't, which I assume you haven't, it's a space conquest type game of the type traditionally done in a turn-based manner, because when you're doing things on this huge scale, like things would really take weeks to unfold. But they've done it as an RTS. And it shares the thing with Supreme Commander where there's no kind of invisible glass ceiling that stops you from zooming out. So you can zoom from the view where your tiniest trade ship fills the whole frame to where you can see an entire galaxy, and you can see little solar systems independently to each other and little regions of nebulae and that kind of stuff. And it's really, really good at that. It's amazing how smooth you can, not just from a technical standpoint, but from like an interface and kind of design considerations. They're all just done so slickly so that when you're really far zoomed out, you can see just the stars and little planets as icons and manipulate them in a really simple way. And then when you're the further you're zoomed in, the more kind of control you have over your ships and planets.
It's a 10 game.
Yeah, pretty much. And you're basically just... it takes place kind of in the gravity wells of planets, which is the bit around a planet where there's too much gravity for you to warp around. So that's where kind of the real-time combat takes place, and then you kind of you transport to other planets with your little warp drive thing. And it adds this bizarre mechanic whereby there are pirates roaming everywhere, like... You get creeps in most RTSs, and you can use them to level up your capital ships because they get more experience for fighting them. But the pirates don't just attack randomly.
Are these pirates?
They're not software pirates.
Right. The pirates in your game, while you play it, I mean your base pirates.
Interestingly,
in your game.
Sins of a Solar Empire has no copy protection, so it's pro piracy in all fronts.
Right, so let's stick it on the disc.
So yeah, they'll attack whoever has the highest bounty, and you can add a bounty to anyone, including your own allies, because people can't tell where bounty comes from. So you just get into this bidding war where you say, okay, I'll give you 250 to attack my friend over there. And your friend will say, well, I'll give you 250 to attack this guy. Well, I'll give you 500. And it's a really nice idea, but in the end, it ends up backfiring horribly because there's no way to tell exactly when the pirates are going to declare, you know, who they're going to go for. They have this big countdown over 30 minutes, and they get to the stage where pirates are going to attack, so you need to, you know, do your bidding war thing now. And there's just this period where they kind of think about it. There's this big red bar saying, there's a pirate army coming! And you're increasing your bounty on the enemy, and he's increasing your bounty on you, and you don't know when it's actually going to end. So the pirates end up winning the whole game, because you've both just given them 25,000 of your own money.
So you're enjoying it then?
That frustrated me for a little while because I kept losing them. I wasn't paying enough attention to that. So even though I had loads of money, I was more than prepared to pay the pirates whatever they wanted to attack the enemy. He would always just get the last bid in and just one-up me at the last minute, and I'd get just masses and masses of pirate fleets swarming in, and it takes hours to kill them.
I saw you fighting some pirates, and
it wasn't very dramatic, was it?
I basically sat for 15 minutes watching spaceships kind of nudge each other.
It's an interesting thing. It's not like it's not as focused on diplomacy and stuff as Galciv and traditional 4X games, you know, Civilization, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it doesn't go hugely in depth in the combat either. A lot of people are calling it like Homeworld, and it's not at all. It's not complicated, and it's not in proper 3D or anything. And pretty much everything just sits there and fires at each other.
Good. So gravity wells and pirate bribes. Sounds fun. Reviewing the following issue. Craig, what have you been doing that's been fun? We've got a few minutes to wrap up. So tell us about what's good.
Creon Physics Deluxe was fun.
Is that another IGF game?
I'm not so sure.
But it's an indie.
It's indie, game. Yeah. It's where you draw your. You get a level, with a blank sort of canvas, and you got a ball, and you got a star, and you got to get the ball towards the star, and you got to use physics. Right.
This is in the new issues downloader section.
Yes,
is it not?
It's actually no. It's in the new section.
In the new section.
Because
yes.
They right. originally released a version free to the internet that they made in 7 days or something like that. And everyone loved it, so he thought he's going to actually make a much better version of it, and it is a much better version of it.
Excellent. So you can read more about that in the new issue. Tim, what have you been playing that's nice and fluffy and made you happy?
Nice, fluffy, made me happy?
Yeah.
Hunting Unlimited 2008. I shot a bear in the ear.
I shot a baby elephant through the lung.
Yeah. I shot a baby elephant as well. No, I shot a baby deer, and it died. It's a hunting sim that's kind of... It's shit, but... it's really funny. Shot a baby deer and it just kind of fell over. And then its mother just kind of was kind of gently kind of pawing the baby.
Oh my God.
I think you're
God.
Reading a bit much into that.
And Alec is reviewing this, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
and he's a vegetarian.
He's a vegetarian. And he doesn't really.
Not much mistake. A pacifist as well.
Also, it's got like. It's a sad moment when you've killed a beautiful, dramatic animal and you've kind of got a rhino slumped over an elephant kind of just bleeding to death and you go. See, this is a sad moment. Just go, and the kind of hunter guy that you're playing goes, "That rocks!
I'm so pumped!"
I never feel sad when I'm playing.
Beautiful.
That game.
Well, I'm going to end on a slightly sad note. I was just going to bed last night, and I had my laptop, and I thought, you know, because I haven't got Steam installed on it yet, and I just thought, well, I'll just install Steam on it just to see if it works, you know. I thought, well, I'll just get Peggle on it. And so you have to picture the scene. I'm lying there in bed at 2 in the morning playing Peggle on my laptop. My imaginary girlfriend's getting really pissed off. but hey, Peggle's still good, even if Peggle Nights is completely made up.
Do you wear pyjamas?
Don't,
I think we
don't,
need to probably
don't
stop
just
there,
our mental image.
Yeah. Use your imagination. Good. Let's stop there. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for joining me in this.
Can I just apologise for the last podcast for promising the next one would be much better?
No, I think it's been 2% better, this one.
That's 2% then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, well, I hope you'll join us next time. Don't forget the new issue is out on the 14th of February, so do go and have a look. You can't miss it. There's a big bloke wearing a gas mask. And hope you'll join us again next time. Thank you very much. Goodbye.